What up, fam? Welcome back to another episode of the Snapback Sports Pod. On this episode, we have a special interview with Dare Ogunbowale, and I got that right there. I'm impressed with myself. Running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was super awesome to talk to. Had a lot of fun stuff. We talked about Jameis Winston. We talked about Mike Evans and Godwin and how he's going to be a Pro Bowler next year. I might have thrown that in. Anyways, we'll enjoy that interview as well as Monday Mailbag, talking the Wilder Fury fight, and much, much more. So let's get it.
Blue Wire.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
A blast. Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant, put the jumper.
What's going on, Snapback fam? Welcome to a new episode of the Snapback Sports Pod. On this episode, we're live in studio. Pleasure to have Dare Ogunbowale in New York City. Got the name right. Yeah. So I pretty much crushed the podcast already. What's going on, man?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
Doing great. What have you been up to since you got to New York?
This is my first time in New York. So I got some homies here. They've been taking me around, showing me all the spots, and then get a chance to get on some media, some marketing stuff, and couple fashion things. Saw Bogner. They have a showroom, and they got their new release coming out for winter. And clothing brand, Original Works and Good Life. Both of them stopped by there and saw some of the cool products they got. So that's really mostly what it's been. But kicking it and taking in the whole New York City.
What do you think of New York?
It's dope, man. It's my first time being here. Like I said, it's fun. There's a lot of stuff to do. Yeah, I would say mostly been positive. I'm staying in Times Square, so it's a lot of tourists.
Oh,
so
that's a little, who put you up in Times Square?
I mean, it was partly me, but I am technically a tourist, right? So I had to stay where the tourists stay at. But it was Times Square was cool for like the first like 25 minutes of the trip, and now it's now I've been everywhere else, and everywhere else is dope though.
That's cool. I see you've been hanging out with your boy Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
Because so just so you know, on our show, Abe, who's the normal co-host who couldn't make it today, he was like, you know, NFL's over. There's not a ton going on. NBA regular season. You know, it gets boring during the middle of the year. Should we introduce Bachelor content into the show? And I was like, I don't know how much our audience will like it, but you have a very unique relationship.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler, in my opinion, he's not like a Bachelor guy. You know, that's who I trained with him before the combine. He came out of FAU. We both trained down in Davie, Florida at Pete Bomarito's facility, and he was training for his pro day. I was training for the combine. We just got close. That was my homie. We had a lot in common, and then he, you know, did the football route for a little bit, and after rookie minicamp, he decided to hang it up and started doing other stuff. And fast forward 3 years, now this man's like the biggest Bachelor contestant ever, and he's got a couple shows coming out now. So yeah, that's my dog. It's been a big thing though. A bunch of people have been hitting me up like, "How do you know Tyler C?"
Right?
Because that's what his name was on Bachelor, Tyler C. And I'm like, "Nah, that's my dog." Like, but no, it's been fun kicking with him too though.
Yeah, like I didn't even know he did the football thing. I just know him from that. And then I see you're like training with him, working out with him, or hanging with him. I'm like, how did these two connect? I didn't realize.
Yeah. So yeah, we worked out together for the combine. Yeah, that's my dog.
That's cool. So you came out of Wisconsin. Yeah. We were talking about our mutual friend, Eric Burrell. Shout out to Eric, who's blowing up.
EB25, what up, bro?
EB25, which has been cool to see his success. But the running backs that come out of that school.
For sure.
Like how? Why?
I don't know how, man, because first off, we're a running school. You know, we run the ball. And we always have good O-lines, so that's been obviously a big part of the success. But, I mean, lately, we got four current now, and then we got JT, who's probably going to be a first-round pick. I don't know. I really don't know why we have such a successful group of backs. Because guys were in the same room at the same time. You know, Melvin, James, and Corey, I was a cornerback at the time, but they're all, you know, splitting carries, you know what I'm saying? Now we got those guys are two Super Bowl champions, and one of them's a Pro Bowler. So it's pretty crazy the fact that we all came out of the same school and around the same time, but like we were close. So that makes, I mean, like me, Melvin, and James trained together in the off season. So that I feel like that helps us too. Helps us continue that success.
When you guys are training, where are you guys training?
We train down in Florida because James is from Fort Lauderdale, so we train down where he's at, and he's kind of like the OG of the group. So we go down where he is, and actually JT came down there, Jonathan. He came down and trained down there with James too. So it's good. Like I said, we're a close group of guys, and hopefully the group just keeps growing as more guys get into the league.
He's going to be a first rounder, probably, most early likely. Second.
He should be.
How important is it for him to get drafted to a fit that works for him over just like going high? Like you see Saquon, right? Mm-hmm. His rookie year, unreal, but this year, obviously, he dealt with the ankle. Mm-hmm. But like your offensive line isn't great. It gets tough to just produce as a back. Like, I'm a Ravens fan. Mm-hmm. If we stick JT in that offense behind Ingram with Lamart, you know,
we talk about running backs, especially talk about that a lot. Like a lot of success comes off of your fit, you know, and that's whether that's your staff or like you said, that's the O-line. A lot of your success comes off of your fit. I got lucky this year with Coach Arians. He likes to, you know what I'm saying, throw the ball out of the backfield and stuff. So I did well catching the ball out of the backfield, running routes and things like that. But you do see guys that, you know, these really highly touted players coming out of college, not really have the careers that you thought they'd have in the league just because, one, offenses are tough to pick up in the league. So that's one thing. Running backs out of Wisconsin are really lucky that it's a pretty complex offense, and if you can get it there, you'll be successful in all 32 offenses in the league. But at the same time, it's also the fit, like you said, like it's guys that, you know, it's hard, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's hard to just find a perfect fit. Like you see McCaffrey, like, I don't know if he could have gotten to a better situation. And then on top of that, he's an elite athlete. So you see stuff like that where it's cool, where you guys just, you know, find that good spot and then they just have success.
Absolutely. So talk a little about your season this year. Like you go from a special teams player to now catching the ball, and we'll get into Jameis because everyone needs to know about Jameis. I'm sure you can't talk about your season without bringing up Jameis and those boys. But like that, just your quick rise to becoming a very important player to your team.
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was really cool. Just even in the preseason, you know, having the success I had, and then being voted captain by your teammates, that's just an honor, you know. And then carrying that throughout the season. I mean, we had ups and downs as a team. Personally, I feel like I was doing pretty well, and the coaching staff recognized that. So my role just kind of grew as the season got going, and more targets, more touches, and things like that. So it's looking promising, you know, for the upcoming year for the team. I mean, we've got a lot of important pieces that we have to figure out, you know, where they'll end up. But I'm excited for it. And my season personally, it was fun. You know, it was the first time I was actually, you know, an important part of the puzzle for the team, and I feel like I did well with it.
It's just crazy, you know, to see that rise in a single year, because we talked to Austin Eckler and it's the same thing. You start on special teams and it's like you go from being a superstar your entire life, right? You're highly recruited coming out, and then you gotta swallow your ego and head down, but then to see you selected as a captain, like that just shows like how unselfish you are as a teammate.
I mean, yeah, especially like I was on practice squad for most of the season, you know, last year, and then, or 2 years ago. So then this past year, you know, being kind of, I mean, it obviously was a lot of work, you know, but at the same time, like your teammates, you know, they you're working with them all the time, and they trust you and they see you as a leader, you know, it's a big deal, you know. I mean, it was a really big deal for me, and I'm just happy, you know. Yeah. It's just still kind of surreal for me just to be in the situation that I'm in, and having the success that I'm in, and going into my fourth year when, you know, I started off as a walk-on cornerback. So it's pretty cool.
So how do you feel about people saying you're part of the reason Luke Kuechly retired? Because when you juked him out at the goal line, maybe he thought he just didn't have it anymore. That's not me. I'm just hearing that from other people.
It's funny. I mean, Luke is a phenomenal player. And I mean, I hope
everyone who talks about him says it's just crazy. Yeah, like, I mean, he knows what's going to happen.
It's pretty frustrating, actually. I mean, being on offense, like, he'll honestly be saying outside zone to the left, outside. Yeah. And then the D-line.
Why does he say that, though? Like, he's moving his defense over? But does that give you a chance to check out of it? Or it's just like...
But then Jameis will say something.
Right, and he's like, oh.
You know what I'm saying? It's impressive, man. He's very, very smart player. And then on top of that, he's just a great athlete. I mean, those guys, you'll talk about white guys, and you'll just be how smart they are. Yeah. But Luke, he'll run down a toss like that. I mean, there's actually a play when he was running down James White.
Yeah.
And one of my boys, I mean, James, I don't know if it was a tosser or outside, a sweep or something like that, but Luke just and gets him on the sideline. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete, too, but I shook him up.
And, that was my first shake up. So yeah, the tweet I just sent out, who's that of?
Oh, actually, that was my boy, too.
Is that your boy?
I went undrafted to the Texans my rookie year. So me and Zach Cunningham, we were rookies together. Shout out Zach. He had a great year. He should have been a Pro Bowler, really. But yeah, I shook him up, too. But that was my boy. He had to have known that was coming. I would always run routes to one-on-ones against him when I was in Houston. But yeah, Zach, he's my dog. But yeah, I got him good on that one too.
Who's the best cover guy that you faced up against? Like, do you ever run into a guy and you're just like, God, I don't know, like, how I'm gonna make this happen?
I'm not gonna lie, no, man.
And that's probably
I would say probably the best cover guy I've gone against is Levante David on my team. So that's the best part. It's in training camp. I go against Vontae, and he's a really good coverage linebacker, but. Yeah, I don't really see too many linebackers when I watch them. I mean, I watch a lot of film, and I've learned how to watch film from, like, Melvin Gordon. I mean, he kind of taught me how to watch film. Mm. And I'll be watching these linebackers, and I've never really come across someone that I've been like, I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, beat him on a route, because I just kind of trust my ability. But I very seldom, you know, get as you should.
I mean, everyone we talk to is always like, you have to put that mindset of confidence. How important is it, and how helpful? I think you're in a very unique opportunity. Obviously, an unbelievable receiving back, and then you got two guys on the outside on your team that just—I mean,
right? Yeah, they're special. Mike and Chris, they are some of the best receivers in the league, and to have them both in the same offense. I mean, I'm pretty sure they both finished in top five in receiving before they got hurt. They're incredible receivers, and they made our job easier. I mean. Just taking the top off the defense, and defenses are expecting the ball to go to them. And then we also had BP Perriman step in when they got hurt. And then I'm pretty sure he had like three straight 100-yard games or something like that. I mean, we had a really, really high-powered offense. I mean, that's not even mentioning the tight ends and stuff like that. So we had a great offense. It's fun to have them. I mean, it's kind of fun to just watch them play. You know, some of the plays they made were incredible. Like some of the catches they made were pretty crazy. So, just as a football fan, having both of them on your team, you like, it's hard not to, you know, enjoy watching them play.
Who was like your idol growing up, or who did you model your game after?
Well,
were you a unique unicorn?
I mean, no, for sure. Growing up, I was a cornerback.
You know?
So I'm over here, I'm watching like Darrell Reeves highlights and stuff like that. Yeah. So then,
not Ike Taylor?
Not Ike Taylor. I mean, he was a good player too. Yeah. But then when I switched to running back in college, then I started watching like LeSean McCoy, just guys that were, because I was a smaller back, so guys that were, you know, comparable in size to me, just so I can kind of see successful players that were my size.
Mm-hmm.
But now I kind of watch everybody just because I try to be a versatile player. So I kind of watch, like, David Johnson, the seasons that he had in Arizona. Like, I try to watch him a lot just because he was killing cats, and it was fun to watch. But, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say I try to model myself after one particular back. But, like I said, being at Wisconsin, like, I'm learning from some of the best backs in the league. So I just get to train with them and kind of just pick their brain all the time.
How shady get away with running like that? Like you have coaches, and if you ever ran like that, you would be on the bench for the rest of the season, right? And he's a great player, but
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. I have not, and they always say that's just how, because I'm pretty sure he's from Philly. He's from the East Coast. They say that's just what they do. Like, but, I mean, he was shaking. Like, he was making people miss, and they couldn't punch the ball out if they couldn't get close enough to him, so... I really don't know how he got it. My coach would lose his mind, even if it was a veteran running back. I mean, Shady's a veteran. Even if it was a vet, my coach is still, like, tuck the ball away, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, he's trying to get, like, 12,000 career rushing yards, so it ain't really much you can say to him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know how he – I mean – I don't know how he did that. I don't know how
crazy.
He looked like he was dribbling basketball.
I want to scream at my TV every time. But he doesn't – he fumbles a couple times, but he really doesn't.
Yeah,
it's not
really
like 12 a season.
Fumble issues with him, which just doesn't make – I mean, when you're carrying the ball like that, you would think he would fumble all the time.
The only person who drove me more insane was Ed Reed. Not because the way – well, he would carry it, but – he like would try to pitch it that crazy.
But he's a safety. He's allowed to do his dumb stuff with the ball because
he'll get it back.
Ed Reed was fun to watch too, because he returned the ball like he was a running back. Once he got the ball, he was
crazy,
reading blocks and stuff like that. So.
So you would consider yourself a football fan even though you play in the league because you love the game, or you actually just love watching people play at a high level?
I think that is what it is, the second one. Just because, and that's with any sport with me. You know, I just, the best of the best, you know. It's fun to be able to, and especially like playing against them, but just watching the best, like that's why I love the NBA or like watching the UEFA. Like, it's just the best athletes.
Who's your UEFA team?
I've always been a PSG fan because Latham was my guy.
Okay.
And then he left, but I still stuck with him. But
did you watch the game yesterday?
I could. I was.
Yeah, you're busy
around
in New York.
I was checking the scores, though. I did see Dortmund and because Lil Reyna, the little American, he was cooking, and I saw his goal. But I would say PSG is my squad. I couldn't watch any games yesterday, but Neymar was back. That was big. But so I just like watching the best of the best. So. As I would say, that's probably why I love football. But also, my dad, he's Nigerian, and he came to America. And I don't know if it was to fit in or what it was, but he just bought a big old entertainment system, and he was always hosting football parties on Sundays.
Okay.
And all the Nigerians would come over and watch football at our house. And so that even when I was a soccer player still growing up, but I was, you know, watching football games with my dad and his homies, and I think that's partly why I was such a big football
and
fan.
And shout out to the Nigerian soccer kits, because there's no more heat in the entire world.
Back-to-back jerseys.
I know.
We got it right for the World Cup, now we got it right for the Olympics, too. I can't wait to pick that one up.
What position did you play as a soccer player?
I was left mid.
Okay, me too. Are you left-footed?
No, I'm right-footed. I'm
right-footed, too, but I was like the only one who could play with my left foot.
In high school, my sophomore year, we switched to a 4-3-3. So that I was like playing left wing. But I was always playing on left side, though. I was always playing on left
side. So when did you start playing football?
When I was a junior in high school.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
For everyone in the audience, they'll take a vote. So I played soccer my whole life. In eighth grade, I tried out for football, played running back. My first career carry, 10 yards, first down. My next 8, lost yards on every carry, finished my career with negative yardage. So whose transition to football do you think turned out better? What's your honest thoughts? There's just crickets. Crickets from our live audience.
Don't be polite.
But what's the value? Because I feel like most people who are dual sport athletes, it's like a basketball and football it's different seasons.
Sure, exactly.
But what do you think your experience playing soccer did to kind of nurture you as a football player?
It helped so much. It helped so much. Like just the footwork. Like you, from an athletic standpoint, it's just the footwork and being light. But I would say from like a creativity, like soccer is one of those sports. And I would like compare it to a point guard. But soccer is one of those sports where like you just have so much freedom. You know, you're not running set plays except for it's a free kick or something. So you just got so much freedom, and you get on the same page with your teammates. It's just a lot of fun. You can just do whatever you want, overlap and stuff like that. So I would say the creativity was the biggest thing for me. So, and then I also played basketball. So I really feel like I took soccer stuff to basketball and football. Mm-hmm. My kids will definitely play soccer at least a little bit. Hopefully a lot, because they get paid. But they're definitely going to start out like that, just because I feel like it's just so much you can bring to other sports from it.
Because everyone nowadays growing up, it's like you're 8 years old. You can only play baseball.
Right.
You're 12.
Right.
You can only play football. You have to find. Mm-hmm. But every person I talk to is like, you have to play multiple sports.
It doesn't really make sense. And it doesn't make sense that parents try to kids, at the end of the day, the kids are going to choose. But, I mean, I just feel like you got to let them play everything. Because, and one, you're just exposing your kid to injury if they're just playing basketball for 12 months out of the year without any other type of movements and stuff like that. So, no, I definitely feel like it's important to play a lot of different sports, if not a little, at least two. You know, just playing at least the two different sports.
So, as a football fan, Lamar Jackson this year, like, what just – you're in the league, you're watching him, and, I mean, people, there's so, the haters, they just drive me crazy. Like, it really is crazy. But, like, what do you think of him as a player, and, like, what him and them, obviously different style, but what Mahomes is going to do for the league? Like,
it's huge. Like you said, it's for the league, it's huge. You know, there's two quarterbacks, especially Jackson, though, doing it his way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You've got the chains on, you know what I'm saying, coming in. Swagging, sunglasses, like stuff like that. That's him. He's being himself. But on top of that, nobody can touch him. He's got vision. He's got unreal vision, you know what I'm saying? And nobody, and now he's slinging it. And that's another example of being put in a system, you know what I'm saying? A system that fits for you,
right,
and a coach that's working his offense around you. No, I'm excited to see his future because he is an elite, elite talent. And then on top of that, he just works so hard. He wants to get better. So, and then Mahomes, I mean, there ain't really too much you can say about him.
Is that the general consensus around the league? It's just like,
It's unbelievable. So what he does with the football is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. And like, it's just fun to watch.
So I have a big, my whole thing on the podcast is that Mahomes' championship window is closed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Explain that.
All right. So, out of everyone laughs as they should because he's supernova, right? So, out of the past 10 or 15 Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, none have ranked in the top 5 in salary. He's about to get the most money ever, right? Like, sure. Like, they're giving him a blank check, right? They should give him $100 million a year, but it'll probably be 40 or something. But if I had told you, I mean, you grew up a football fan, Aaron Rodgers would never play in a Super Bowl again after he won. Then they go 15-1, right, the year after. If I had told you right before that game that he would never even go play in a Super Bowl again, you would have said, you're out of your mind. But you know it's a 53-man team, how important it is to have – I mean, be able to have all these guys. So, obviously, my thought is probably a little headline guy, clickbaity, but it is, like, it is a thought of, it's more about the team than just one guy. He might be able to get past it all because he's that good.
Yeah.
But Rodgers was really good also.
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying because when it comes down to you got to pay a lot of players.
Right.
And you can't just, be top heavy with it and stuff like that. But I mean, Patrick Mahomes is he's a pretty talented player.
Yeah.
I could definitely see him getting back there. I could see if you're talking about like a receiver, I don't think that like high paid receivers like that, I don't think teams with those guys are gonna, you know what I'm saying, like, or not high paid, but like the highest,
right,
you know, like a top 3 paid receiver. I mean, cuz just the receiver, because you can double team, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But with the quarterback, like Mahomes.
Yeah, the quarterback's the one position.
Yeah, I feel like Mahomes.
So how do you feel about high-paid running backs?
Shout out Melvin Gordon. Pay my boy.
This is, we always talk about this too, because, once again, 53-man roster. They're eating up a lot of cap. I do think there's an argument for receiving, like, dual threat. So, like, Christian, Saquon, Melvin can catch it, but Austin's, like, obviously huge for them. But, like, receiving backs are who they should be paying.
But, no, I feel like as far as – it depends on your system for sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like you should worry about paying, like, the group of backs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because there's so many – like, look at the 49ers. There's so many successful teams that have, like, a tandem or maybe even 3 backs that they're rotating.
You guys have a nice room. Yeah.
Exactly. So I would definitely say that. But there are some running backs who are some unicorns, and they will be getting their like Derrick Henry's about to get his bread soon. Zeke deserved his money. Alvin and McCaffrey, they'll be getting paid soon. You know, so guys like those guys. But it is hard. I mean, and I get what these GMs are saying.
The league is hard.
It's hard to pay a running back a lot of money. You know, it's hard to justify that. But some of these guys deserved it. And free agency is getting better in the NFL. Like, usually it's the NBA free agency that everybody wants to watch. But free agency in the league, in the NFL, is about to be interesting this offseason.
Well, I think a big reason that you just mentioned that NBA free agency is because they don't play with helmets. And everyone knows, who these guys
are. They're all like 6'7". Like, I've been courtside a couple times recently. These guys are huge.
Bro. Right.
Like, these guys are really big.
And, like, I'm on Radio Run. Like, Derwin James, all-pro safety, walks by. And I'm a huge football fan. But without his helmet, like, I really didn't recognize. So what's that struggle like? And, like, what are players starting to do? What are you starting to do to kind of – because the personal brand, we know how important that is going forward, not only just for the contract, but for selling your own merchandise and getting brand partnerships. Like, what are you trying to do in that world? Besides coming on the podcast.
Ask my freaking marketing guys. I mean, ask them. I don't know. It is tough, though.
But, like, an example is, like, you're hanging out with Tyler Cameron. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously he's your boy, but that helps both of you.
For sure, definitely. So. It is tough. You know, in the NFL, it's hard to show show your personality, show who you are with the helmet on. And the teams are so big, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's hard for fans to feel attached to everybody on the team versus basketball, where there's only 12 guys on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You see their reactions after plays because they ain't got a helmet on and stuff like that. So it's definitely hard, and football players talk about it all the time, but it's our sport, you know?
Right.
It's just what you have to deal with. And but you see guys that, you know, have that moment, like Odell. They have that moment,
yeah.
And then everyone's drawn to them, and then they see their personality, and then people get to, you know, be drawn to them that way. But no, it's definitely a different sport. You know, it's a different sport. And I feel like it's changing, and the social media age does definitely help that if you know how to use it right. So that helps. But yeah, it's a lot different. Wish I was taller. I'd be hooping and have some more.
We're fans. Playing soccer, just heading balls in. And
yeah, I mean, overseas, like you see overseas, like you'll be watching the UEFA game. Yeah. And there'll be a backup, like a 21-year-old. He'll come on in the 87th minute.
Yeah.
You'll go to his Instagram. Who the hell is this guy? Yeah. He's got 4 million
right,
followers.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So over there, like, those guys are mythological creatures.
Which, and a lot of people probably say, well, soccer's an international sport and it's the biggest sport, but in the U.S. like, NFL rules,
mm-hmm.
but on
mm-hmm.
social, NBA
else.
Rules,
yeah,
right? Which is weird.
Rules.
It's
yeah,
weird
so,
to think
about. You got those guys that, I mean, and you just find, like, JJ, he does his thing in the community and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and huge philanthropy guy, and obviously has a big following because of that, along with winning 3 defensive players. So
right.
in the NFL, like, I would say more than any other sport, more than any other sport, the NFL, you got to be a baller first, and then people will follow. You know what I'm saying? Then people will be attracted to you.
Like, everyone like wants to give, like, Kyle Kuzma shit right now, right? Because
we just talk about it in the Uber now.
I mean, he's obviously an all-world athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't discredit that. He's not having the season he had last year because he's not there. He doesn't have to score the ball mm-hmm. like he had
right.
to. But the dude is going on dates with Vanessa Hudgens mm-hmm. and has millions of followers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's here every day.
Exactly.
So you guys are just talking about
yeah, I mean,
that.
Well, I just saw a funny video in the car, but
Oh, really?
Oh, that was. Oh, yeah, that was on your page. You.
Oh my God!
The trash can that got. the trash can that got hit by a car. Yeah, that was your.
That was a good video.
That was a good video. I saw that on the way.
Well,
here.
At first you see. So for anyone who hadn't seen the video, it's a video. It's like a security footage video of a trash can getting hit, and the caption is like, "I hope Kyle Kuzma is okay." So at first, before they hit the trash can, though, you're like, "Wait, did Kyle Kuzma actually get in a car accident?" And then it's just like a trash can falling over.
Smoked.
But. And there's no hate on Kyle Kuzma.
For sure.
He's just
great.
Hot right now.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
honestly, it builds him up because
mm-hmm.
people are going to go follow him from
mm-hmm.
that. So maybe I'll just post about Dare being trash and get him to follow.
Please.
Anyways, you were going to make a comment on just that whole thing of like the NBA.
No, exactly. Yeah, like you football players, they have to be, you got to be balling and then they'll come check
right.
you out. But basketball players like you, you got guys that they go viral just because of the shoes they wear.
Yep.
The shoes they wear on the court. You know
Taco
what I'm saying?
Fall. He plays 4 minutes every two
exactly.
weeks. And
four in pro
and
all-star votes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Caruso.
Exact.
Don't
Come
even
on,
get
man.
Me started on Caruso.
No, Caruso's cool. Mike Evans, that's his homie.
Yeah.
So Caruso, I freak with Caruso.
He can jump,
like
though.
He's got bounce.
He can
you
jump.
You know what I'm saying? But no, yeah, Taco Fall, I mean, he's born 7'5".
Yeah.
You know, however tall he
yeah.
is. And now he's an icon. You know what I'm saying? So stuff like that. It's different sports, different games. But
what kicks are those?
It's the fear gods, man.
I like those.
Thanks,
those are nice.
It.
All right. I made the people wait long enough. Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston. Great player. Great player. Great teammate.
Yeah.
So, I would love to have him back. You know, I mean, I love Jameis. You know, I would love to have him back. And he's a good player, man. And he put us in great situations. So we'll see what they choose to do. We'll see what he chooses. I mean, because he's got a say in it, too, if he wants to stay. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see what he chooses to do. But, I love Jameis. He's a great teammate. And I feel like we can win games with him for sure.
So he got what, eye surgery this offseason?
He got
so
LASIK.
Now he's just gonna see you coming out of the backfield clear as day.
I think
hit
so.
Hit you on everything.
I think so. I feel like maybe that's what it was. You know, maybe maybe that's gonna just take him to the next level. Because I mean, he said himself once he gets rid of the turnover.
I mean, he really was always squinting. I thought that was just like the sun was in his eyes, but maybe he couldn't see. Because when did you see last year when Steph Curry got contacts? Did you hear about that?
Oh yeah, I do remember that. Actually.
Everyone was like, "Wait, Steph Curry couldn't see the hoop the whole time."
We'll see if that. I don't really know what LASIK really. I mean,
yeah.
So it just makes your vision perfect.
Yeah. It pretty much resets it to.
I got contacts, but maybe LASIK would be nice. Maybe
if you start dropping the ball, which you don't do, if you start though, then we'll have to.
then I'll check out some LASIK. I have gotten my contact knocked out, but we got contacts on the side. Yeah. I've gotten knocked out a couple times by some big hits, and I just run over to the trainer and put a new contact in. But maybe LASIK might be the way. We'll see how. We'll see. Jameis leads us to the promised land. I think the whole squad will be getting LASIK for sure.
So you scored a couple touchdowns this year. One time you guys were down, so no celebration.
Yeah,
the other time, though, what dance was that?
Is
that your own? Was that you created that?
No. So Drumline.
Okay.
It was a scene with Nick Cannon. I don't even remember the guy's name, the white guy. He's in the locker room practicing beating the bass drum. And so Nick comes in there. He's like, you got to make love to the drum. And they start beating the drum together. They start hitting the drum together. And so then Melvin did it after he scored once with the Chargers. And then I told him, I was like, if I score, I'm going to do that too. And then we got to put them both together. We got to do it the same day. Mm. He scores the same day. He doesn't do the celebration. So it just messed up the whole thing. Right. But I still did it. And I loved it.
And it was a big touchdown.
It was a really big touchdown. It was in Seattle too. Yeah. That was a really fun touchdown to have. But Melvin didn't do the celebration. So it kind of ruined the moment. But it was fun to celebrate. It was fun.
So all these coordinated touchdown dances that teams do, like, are they do it the week of, someone comes up with it, and you actually use practice time to work on them? Like, the only reason I ask is because, of course, during the course of it, you have so much time. But, like, in a playoff week, do these teams actually, like, they're not watching film, they're working on their playoff celebration?
What I've heard with the Seahawks is they're the ones that, like, just master
they
the
crush
celebration.
It.
Apparently, the receivers, they do it after practice on their own. I didn't score enough touchdowns, but believe me, if I was in the end zone a lot, you would have seen some stuff.
Okay.
I definitely was putting it in guys' ear, like, if we're scoring, we're doing this. If I score, we're doing this.
Okay.
But, my team.
Like, does the coach, if you're on the goal line, Coach Arian, who calls the plays? Coach Arian?
Coach Arian and Byron. But
so, like,
Byron
does he call in, like, ISO right, and if we score, here's the touchdown answer? But that's not it.
No, that's strictly the players. And it's even before the huddle, because most quarterbacks don't like when, you know, other guys are talking in the huddle. You know, in high school, throw me the ball if I score, everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now you can't really do that in the league. But, it's mostly a practice thing. It's like, if I score, or some would be viral. He'd be like,
right.
Hey, yo, if we score, let's do this, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's never really coordinated on game day. On game day, people are locked in, for sure.
Give me your best in the huddle, like, Jameis play call. Like, is it?
It's actually a joke with the team.
You can do it?
No, I can't do it. But
it's a joke with the team.
I don't know if Jameis is listening, but TJ Logan, he roasts you. That's all I was. Jameis is pretty funny in the huddle because we got, like, we use the wristband.
If
it's a long play call, he gets in the huddle. He's like, all right, guys, stay with me. And so everybody's just staring at him because it's like a paragraph of a play call, and it's just the funniest thing how he says it, because once he says that, everybody's like, oh, here we go. We gotta lock in on this one. But, no, Jameis, he commands the huddle really well. Jameis is my age, and I always forget because he's like a 10-year vet, the way he acts, you know, the way he carries himself. And so people, like, he demands a lot of respect in the huddle, so everyone's staring at him when he speaks. But, he definitely is funny in the huddle, though. His accent, too. People talk about his accent because
– What's his accent?
He's from Bama. He's from Alabama, so he's got that draw. And we got a route called Salmon. He'll say Salmon. And we're like, Jameis, it's not Salmon, man. I know you said
Salmon. Like, you guys are fighting in the huddle and everyone's trying to get
stuff like that. It's, Jameis cracks me up when he's reading that wristband, though.
That's amazing. Well, next year after you are a Pro Bowler, you come back on the pod. That's just courtesy.
For sure.
You know
for sure.
What it
I'll
is.
Be back for sure.
So where can people find you on social media?
I'm not going to spell my name. But Dario Gumbawale is Instagram and then Twitter.
All right. Let me give a tip to your guys. Let's shorten that up. Well, because Twitter, you have DG.
Yeah, DGO. That's my initials.
Okay.
DGO23. That's my Twitter.
But if they type in Dare O, And Dare, for the people listening, D-A-R-E.
Yes.
So it's not that tough to spell. The last name's a little harder. But Dare, oh, they should be able to find it. Yeah. And I'll post you, and we'll get you some followers. We're going to, so the goal is to make sure you have twice as many as Kuzma by the start of the regular season.
Got to bleach my hair for that.
Do you ever think about doing stuff like that? Like, if you came out to training camp and your hair was just pink, like, you would get some, you would get some attention.
Rojo did that. Rojo, yeah. He came back with his hair
so
red.
So he's a cloud chaser.
And our coaches roasted him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he did it for cloud. Rojo's just off, man. Rojo's a different cat. He came back with his hair red. And Rojo wears sunglasses while we're inside at night. That's how Rojo operates, though. That's my dog.
All right. Well, thank you for coming by. For sure. I hope you enjoy New York City. Best of luck to you next year.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
Ever wonder why traditional button-ups look so long and baggy? That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untucked shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked, a modern solution to an old problem. With no untucking or tailoring required, no matter your size or shape, these shirts are the perfect untucked length. Yo, all I gotta say is visit untucked.com, use code BLUEWIRE for 20% off your order. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders to the U.S. Sorry to our 8% international audience. But that's untucked.com, promo code BLUEWIRE for 20% off your first order. What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman from Snapback Sports on Snapchat. Joining me today, and as always, is my co-host and best friend, Abe. Abe, what's up?
Long weekend, man. I don't know.
You sound down in the dumps.
Well, I just had a bad night last night.
Why?
Actually, no. The fight was great. But
yeah, the fight was great. Sixers. We'll dive into the Sixers in a second.
We don't
not have to. not really much about the Sixers. Just about Ben.
We don't really have to.
Okay, we can pass it then. But first, there was, like you mentioned, a really, really good fight. So let's tip off.
Do you think it was a good fight? A lot of people are saying, did they just waste $80?
Did you pay for it, or did you use the stream?
When I opened my computer tonight for us to come record, I had to close down about 17 different pages of just trying to find a stream last night. Like, I had a bunch of different streams, and they were all working fine. It was just like they were lagging at random points before the fight on, like, the undercard. And I was with, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 of my friends, and we're just like, let's just do it right. It's probably the biggest fight in the last God knows how many years. Like, it'll be 10, 15 bucks each person. Let's just bite the bullet and buy it. So, yeah. We bought it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Yeah, we had 4 people, so it was 20 bucks each. And
just like, so it was like, for instance, I was watching, this has nothing to do with sports, Parasite the other day, the movie.
Yeah,
that won
you
Best
told
Picture.
Me about that. Yeah.
Yeah, like the subtitles were all jacked up and everything. I'm just like, listen, $4, Amazon, this thing won Best Picture. There are certain things that you spend for to do it the right way. Like, I was having this conversation with someone about, like, stuff that's important to you in your life. Like, I enjoy the process of getting my hair cut, right? Like, I love how it makes me feel after, whether other people think it's a good
what looks is
good
happening?
Or, I'm just letting you know, like, it's those things in life. Like, you want to watch the Best Picture movie, like, you spend on it, and it's okay. If it's a passion of yours, it's okay to spend on it, even if it's a little expensive. And that's the life segment of today.
Okay.
If it's important to you, it's worth the money.
I get what you're saying. You're saying,
I'm trying to tie
fun.
Life
you enjoy
into
sports, so you do it. You gave us a nice example with the process of getting, you don't actually like the process of getting your haircut. You just, you're saying,
no, I do.
Your haircut is important to you, so
no,
it's worth
it. No, I enjoy getting a haircut.
Oh, so you're saying, like, you like the wash and the shave.
I don't even like.
So what what part of the process are you paying for that you enjoy? I'm confused.
No, I'm paying for the, I'm not saying I pay for the process. I'm saying
that's
I pay for how it makes me feel, but I don't, like, I enjoy getting a haircut. Like, I don't, it's not like going to the dentist.
Okay.
Like, everyone hates the dentist.
I Speaking honestly of which, have never
Oh, don't go down this hill.
I feel
Do
like
not go down this hill.
I like, you know what I really like at the dentist is when they fill up the little, like, mouth guard things with the
oh. makes me want to throw
See,
oh,
I get the dude, I think I get strawberry something. I like it. I really don't mind the dental. Oh, the like only the thing foam. I don't like is like the sucky tube that you got to like clear your mouth out.
Dude, they're just like stabbing at your mouth and everything. Listen, I don't like things inside me, plain and simple.
Okay. And we will move on. Sam O'Brien 34.
I can't believe you actually like the dentist. I like the dentist. That's crazy.
I wouldn't say I like it. I just don't have a distaste for it.
I think you're one of, like, you're very much in the minority.
We can pull it. We can pull it. Put it up on Instagram.
I will.
Sam O'Brien, 34. Question for Abe. How much would you pay to see Tyson Fury fight Jack?
That was to me. How much would I pay to see Tyson Fury fight Jack?
Which is interesting, because you just talked about buying the fight. So you paid $20 to watch the fight, $15, $20. How much would you pay to see Fury fight me?
I'm glad you said fight you, not you two fight, because there would be no
there would be limited from fighting from my end.
Yeah, I'd spend that.
Like, we would pay-per-view that. That would get hits.
Oh, you're gonna start becoming like what's that guy's name?
Jake trying Paul, to fight Logan Paul.
Yeah, they're trying to fight AB.
Yeah,
you should try and fight AB.
I should try
I'll to fight AB. I'll fight AB.
I would take down AB, no doubt.
Dude, he's like 5'8".
Yeah, he's tiny.
I would fight AB. AB, I'm calling you out.
He does listen to
Heard
the
it
pod,
here first.
So this could
No,
happen.
I know he listens. I know he listens. But, yeah, I'll fight him. All but right. How much would I pay? I'd pay $100.
You would pay $100 this year.
I'd pay $100.
Easy. All right, Ben Loomis, 9. I'm not going to lie. I thought I was reading his question. Do you think there will be a rematch between Wilder and Fury? So, in the clause... Wilder's 30 days to activate a rematch. So
wait, what does that mean? What does that
so,
mean?
So in the contract, right, all these boxing deals.
Is this like a regular thing? Is this or is it just like
well, all
for the
boxing
trilogy?
Fights
is
have
this a
like
trilogy
a,
clause?
All of them just happen to have different stipulations. Like every Mayweather fight, right, like had different stipulations. There was one in this one where if Wilder wants a rematch, he has to declare a rematch within 30 days. So this would be fight three. The first one went to a draw, but honestly, Fury kind of won that fight, and he was in terrible shape. It was just Wilder caught him with one punch. Last night, Wilder gets absolutely demolished.
Dude, it was actually start to finish. Start to finish, domination.
So
what'd you think about the when the ref called it? You think it was a fair call?
All right, so let's go back to the beginning, because what you said, start to finish. So Fury won round one, and round two was way more even. Even one judge had Wilder.
Well, Wilder actually came out pretty hot out the gate in like that first minute of the round, but then they were traded, and then Fury kind of just took over.
So, well, that's the thing. It was somewhat even, and then the knockdown happens in round three. Correct.
Is that the borderline illegal hit?
And so
that was such a bang bang play. Like, I understand like that view that we posted on Instagram today. Like, obviously he got him in the back of the head, but like the way someone commented, like the way he ducked, and like it's all happening so quick,
oh,
like
so fast.
It's an illegal hit. It's not a dirty hit. Like,
well,
there's no malintent.
Well, Wilder was upset when he went down because he was kind of like, he didn't really knock me down. So,
well, yeah, I think he wanted like a point deduction or something.
Exactly. So if it had gone 12 rounds, do they really take that knockdown into effect as much? Like, do they take the full point off his card? I don't know.
I mean, but like there were certain rounds that like he could have scored him 10-7. Like,
right,
he was
but
dominating.
More importantly, it was that hit that ruptured his eardrum and really turned the fight. His equilibrium was way off. He couldn't stand up for the rest of the fight.
He looked concussed.
Exactly. So I think that knockdown wasn't as big a deal as the actual effect of, like, his ear got messed up. And if it was an illegal hit, then that's, like, a whole bigger conversation, right?
But right. Wilder, I mean, it definitely, I think it's easy to say it was illegal.
Right. And I think, but, like, an illegal below-the-belt shot, right, if he gets hit in the groin, he can recover, and like it just takes 2 minutes as a man to like really figure that out. But it's not going to throw off the way you're standing and taking punches
to
the head. So this illegal hit could have had bigger repercussions.
Dude, the thing about the so let's get to the stoppage, because that right when it happened, I was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know about that. Like, It wasn't getting fall. He didn't fall down or anything. Like, he just blew it. And I mean, he was getting dominated. Like, he was toying with them. He was putting him in corners. That is Tyson Fury, obviously. But they're saying his corner called it.
They did. Do you know the terminology throwing in the towel?
Yeah, I wasn't born yesterday.
Did you see them throw in the towel? Like, that's a real thing. Like, they actually throw a towel.
Oh, it's actually a real thing.
Yeah. There's an angle of the ass.
Was it white?
It's a white towel, and they threw it in the ring. So they actually did. The ref, I do believe.
Wilder was pissed,
but listen.
They kind of saved his life.
Exactly, and that's their job. Like, once again, his stuff was so thrown off by the ear injury that there was no coming back from that. There was one swing. He wasn't throwing any punches. He was just eating them. And I know he hadn't gone down, but it was getting really ugly. Like, it was only going to be an injury to happen.
We needed to discuss. I don't think you should be able to show up to a heavyweight boxing championship match looking like a villain out of the Spider-Man series, in that what cost $40,000, I looked it up, that costume that could sing and dance for you if you wanted to. I do not think you're allowed to show up wearing that and then proceed to get your ass beat. Like, how do you do that?
Argument could be said for Fury coming in on the throne. Like, if he had lost, that would have been just as embarrassing.
Dude, did you see that damn costume?
I thought it was epic.
Dude, it was epic, and he wears it all the time, but literally, like, Fury came in, played some questionable music or whatever. I was just like, okay, whatever this is. On the throne. It's like, yeah, yep, all right.
So let's answer Ben's question. Do you think
we're going to?
Rematch?
We're going to. Ben, stick around. And then Wilder came in, and the second the lights went off and, like, they showed his face, I literally just uttered the words, oh, my God, Fury's going to actually die. like, it actually scared the shit out of me watching that. But, Ben, will they fight again? I do think so. Because
I don't.
The only other person really waiting is Anthony Joshua. Well, and Fury said, listen, if Wilder doesn't want it, AJ, let's get it on. But, listen, Joshua's not going to go ahead and fight Wilder. What is Wilder's next move? That's the biggest fight he'll be able to get. Whether he thinks he can win or not is a different story. Like, is that why you think he won't fight him? Because he actually doesn't think he can win?
Yeah, I don't think that. It doesn't seem like if he wins the third fight that anyone's going to look at him as, like, one of the greatest boxers ever. So he probably needs to just. Because he just got demolished for two straight fights. And
yeah,
now
I'm thinking that, like, if he drops.
I also don't think that he can. He's not. I don't think he's that great of a boxer.
I was going to bring this up. I'm glad you did. So, in the sports with media and everything.
It's kind of the lazy thing to say.
Yeah, no, but it's the fun thing to say. But Twitter, we're making narratives. Is it time to create the narrative that Deontay Wilder is a one-trick pony?
He's
a knockout king,
and
that's
it. But sometimes one-trick ponies, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's just like,
oh, yeah, definitely made him a lot of money.
Yeah. And I guess, in theory, if Fury doesn't have the magical comeback in fight one, then he's undefeated and even knocked out Fury, and maybe the narrative's very different. So,
I want to talk about a potential Fury-Anthony Joshua fight. Why would Anthony Joshua want to fight Tyson Fury?
Money.
Yes, correct. But that was a rhetorical question.
That's the whole sport.
Anthony Joshua lost to a small fat guy, and now he's going to fight a colossal fat guy in Tyson Fury.
Seems like a bad matchup.
Yeah, what in the world? I saw a tweet. It was like, it's the year, we're in the era of the fat athletes, and it was like a pick stitch. It was like Ruiz, Tyson Fury, Zion, and I forget who the other one was, but it made me crack up. Just like these big boys.
I don't think there's a rematch. Maybe there is.
I do.
Shout out to Caleb.Ott13 who asked, will we see Fury versus Joshua?
I wonder what those odds would be. What, you think we see Fury Joshua?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either way, the heavyweight division is so elite and so back that any combination of those three is an awesome must-see fight. So agreed. Keep Ruiz out of it.
All right, let's move to M. Watson 609. What do the Sixers need to do to be the top team in the East? So, obviously, bringing that up for specific reasons. I called it on Thursday's pod. I said you guys would get absolutely blown out. I didn't obviously anticipate Benjamin
becoming injured. But I don't know how much that changes in the game. You suffered through the majority of it. But what's the report? Because I was with...
They're being very,
I was with Showtime
shady.
Cappers this weekend. Follow him on Twitter if you don't. And he read me a report that Ben was hysterically crying in the locker room, which obviously
was,
Ben's a baby.
He was okay, that wasn't the report. He was emotional. He wasn't hysterically crying. But yeah, he subbed out after the first 5 minutes. I'm so ready to throw in the towel on this team, man.
Literally or figuratively? Now that you know that's a real thing, like you're gonna show up at work today.
There's a towel. Not today. We're talking in the present. There's a towel around me. But what do the Sixers need to do? I thought it was bench Al Horford. I thought it was bench Al Horford, and that worked.
For a game, right?
It's been helping, but he is just a shell of what he used to be, man. He is awful.
Who? And Horford,
man. Yeah. It's. I mean, we gotta wait to see what the deal with Ben is. He's definitely out tomorrow. Not to mention, Tobias is out tomorrow. Dude, it's an absolute mess.
Like
Joel. The thing about it is, though, I've been pissed at Joel Embiid all season because we saw. In the media, he wasn't himself. Like, he's not talking smack anymore. He's not on social media. And then he said, I got to get back to my ways. Like, I was trying to help everyone fit in. But the only way we're going to be the best Sixers that we can be is if I'm the best Joel Embiid I can be. And that's when I'm having fun. I'm doing all this stuff. So he started back up with that again. And I'm sure you saw the quote that he thinks he's the best player in the world.
That was comical.
Listen. Whether it's true or not, I'm not agreeing with him, obviously. But that's what I need to hear out of him as a Sixers fan. That's what I want to hear. That mentality, just like
that's fine.
He's had that lazy look on his face all year, disengaged. That's just you want that fire lit under him, and then he came and I think shot 5 of 18 from last night.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was just the best player in the world.
I was like, listen, we cannot go into that game last night and expect to win. Like, we have the Hawks at home tomorrow night. We can expect to win that game. The only thing you can do is hope for it. And it just sucks when you lose by 20-plus and your superstar point guard leaves the game.
So, to speak on Ben, though, would it, like, shock you just the way about this whole situation, right? Like, he didn't go into the All-Star break injured, right? And then he was like, kind of.
Yeah, dude, they said it. They said that it happened going up for a rebound in practice the other day. But dude, you watch the All-Star game, obviously, right?
Yeah, this seems weird, right?
There was a moment where he fell in the All-Star game after that putback dunk, and just laid there where my heart stopped for a second, and then got up and sprinted down the court, and I was like, "Phew!" But he like landed on his lower back. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. He just got hurt in an All-Star game. But then he sprinted down the court and was, like, smiling and everything, so he seemed fine. And then he was spotted jet skiing in the Bahamas 2 days later. And then apparently he goes up for a rebound in practice. Like, it's all fishy.
Like, if they said he was out for the rest of the regular season, would it shock you?
I mean, backs are tricky.
Right, that's my point. Like, it's starting to feel just a very weird situation.
I mean, and it's like Woj tweeted without tweeting today. You know what
exactly.
I mean? He tweeted, like, update on Ben Simmons. He got further evaluation, and he's going to get more evaluation tomorrow, and that's it. Like, what?
Like, why did he tweet that?
What? How bored are you?
Sun will come up tomorrow, probably. We'll see tomorrow. Like,
what the hell? It's supposed to rain tomorrow, but we'll find out when tomorrow happens.
Evan Heller, a.k.a. John Gruden, as of right now, who's leading the NBA MVP race? Giannis.
The guy that put up 37 points on the Sixers last night.
He scored 37.
But let's take that a step further for John. Let's take Giannis out of the conversation. Who's your MVP?
Number two right now is...
Make the right decision.
He has Anthony Davis, though.
Oh,
LeBron's been awesome this year. No, he has.
Who cares?
He's been awesome, but he also has a top five player next to him, so I don't know who.
He's also 35 and leading the league in assists.
Okay, Rachel Nichols, but being 35.
Okay, wasn't fair, okay?
Well, you just said it. He's 35. Okay, that's his age. That you don't get points for that. There's nothing. He's not winning.
Okay, but the Rachel Nichols jab was a little
much.
I mean, come on. Don't give me that if you're going to use that.
That was then, not... Okay, that was more just like a LeBron apologist type thing that
exactly.
runs courses through and my
I had
blood.
To call
that
you
wasn't,
out on
that.
So that now was you're going to go as Rachel Nichols on the podcast if you're going to use
was,
that
logic. That was not a pitch as to why he's the MVP.
Okay, so give me the pitch then as why he's number
two. I just
two.
Don't think there's anyone else.
Yeah, it's tough right now because Harden probably
like I'm not giving it to I'm not giving it to what 5 or 6 seed Luka Doncic like no thanks.
No, definitely not Luka.
I'm not giving it to not in the playoffs Damian Lillard.
Right.
Harden's somehow averaging 40 almost. You know what? Like am I crazy to say that I mean it would be LeBron probably but like dude, I would give it to maybe Pascal.
Pascal's obviously not, interesting. But Jokic is interesting.
Oh, piss off.
Well, Jokic is like 25, here. So
Jokic
if you
is like the Serbian
your MVP rankings.
Jokic is like the Serbian Tyson Fury. Oh, that's who it was.
He literally
it was Jokic, oh, yeah. Ruiz, all the fat people. Zion and Fury. That's how it was.
So dating back to last week where we mentioned we hadn't watched a lot of college basketball, I got to watch some this weekend, which I was excited about.
Kansas game was electric.
Yeah, great game. I also got to watch a few of the prospects. I mean, the Georgia game-winning shot, Anthony Edwards, dunk.
He's the real deal. You want him in New York?
Toppin. I want Obi.
You want Obi?
No, I want LaMelo Ball. Let's make that
just
clear
for
right
like
now.
Just for like the
like if
the entertainment.
Well, first of all, did you
just for the show?
Did you know the Knicks have never had a good point guard?
Stephon Marbury.
Exactly.
What do you mean? He was fire.
But not when he was on the Knicks.
Are you sure about that?
He was like the epitome
Ray for
of
Alston.
Average. When the Knicks have a good point guard, like they kind of think about Jeremy Lin. Like Lin's sanity was crazy because he was averaging like 22.
Oh yeah, he was in New York on the he had a couple really good years and yeah, it's putting up 22 a game.
Dude was selling shoes for $12. How good could he have really have been?
Remember our nurse? What was her name?
Yeah, Aunt Rose.
Aunt Rose and her sexy Starberries. Jack and I.
For the audience listening, we had a doctor at camp who rocked Starberries, and she was awesome. So that's the context you need. Anyways, no I want LaMelo Ball because I actually think he's the best player in the draft. He's actually been playing against, like, look at Luka, right? He played against NBA level, not NBA level talent, but adults for all those years. Like, LaMelo's
well,
been
he was
doing
it since he was 14.
Right. What do you think LaMelo's been doing?
Not playing professionally,
but he's been playing. He played professionally this year. He's played with Lonzo. He's played in camps with all these guys. He's played in the summer league.
There's a difference
leagues.
Between Luka and...
Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy Lin, dude.
That's what I just said. I said, think about this. Jeremy Lin averaged, like, 20... a game for 7 games, and the city lost its mind. Imagine if we had a good player, and we got
well. Okay,
ball.
It wasn't that he averaged 20 or whatever. It was that he was just hitting game winner after game winner.
He hit like one game winner. That's my point. That's how the Knicks just need a point guard,
dude. I'm looking at like past Knicks point guards.
It's crazy,
hysterical.
Dude. Alfred Payton didn't play on Friday, and I was like, we have no chance because that he's the MVP of the league because that's how bad the Knicks are.
Oh my god!
You know who's overrated? I think we need to get it like an official on the pod. Trae Young, empty
Whoa.
Calorie. Trae Young.
Whoa! I mean, dude. That kind of take is right up my alley. You know that.
Explain actually, to me how
me,
that
me,
team...
me and my, me and Grossman, my roommate, were talking about it today. He's like statistically, according to the nerds, one of the worst defenders of all time.
Correct.
At his position.
He gives up more points than he actually contributes. I watched Elfrid Payton take him to town, and I said, this guy is just so bad. And he scored 50 against the Heat, and they won, right? But he needed 50 points on a ton of shots, and he was hitting those logo threes. He has that range, but it's not at, like, an insane efficiency. And he doesn't
remember
use
when,
it
Remember
to
when people were talking about the Hawks making a run at the 8 seed earlier in the year? Like,
how,
before the season started?
Explain to me how Trae Young could start in the All-Star game, have John Collins, have your boy Cam Reddish, have, like...
Cam Reddish is good.
Huerter's good. DeAndre Hunter's been playing good defense this year as a rookie. Explain to me
how that team
has less wins than the Knicks. You can't. Unless you can declare that Trae Young fills up the stat sheets and nothing more.
So you wouldn't want Trae Young on the Knicks?
Did I say that?
I'm asking you.
Just because he's overrated doesn't mean he's worse than
doesn't mean that you're still Frank Natalie tickets.
Liam MCK 72, yo, let me get some cereal. Can you Venmo me? Drop your Venmo name. We'll Venmo you for some cereal. And then yeah, final
Jack
question.
Might. Jack might.
I like this question, and we'll close with this. David.Arts 93.
Oh no, I have a question that we need to talk about okay. after.
What's the biggest surprise of the NBA season so far? Let's keep it short. You go first because I don't really
biggest
know.
Surprise or like, yeah. What
oh,
does that
biggest
mean?
Surprise. All right, mine. I'll go first. I'm going with the Raptors. Like I'm shocked that they have 40 wins.
Okay, you took a positive surprise. I'm going to take a negative surprise. Mm-hmm. I think it's the Sixers. How much of a disappointment they've
it's
been.
It's tough because, you know, we talk about the Sixers all the time.
Oh,
you,
wait a second. Evan, Forget it. I don't even want to talk about the Sixers anymore. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Nope. Not a surprise because
you don't do this.
What?
I know you said I wouldn't be surprised if they made the playoffs.
No. I said they would be a playoff team if they didn't blow it up, and they didn't, and they're a playoff
no,
team.
No, you said they have
because
a chance
they have
to be.
The point guard, and that's all you need. Chris Paul, best fourth quarter player this season. The disrespect this man has been put through because of unlucky instances in his career, labeling him as
like
a loser.
What? You, like what?
Like what? Like pulling his hamstring.
No, listen,
Dory.
Wait. Don't give attitude. I'm not going at you. I'm
no,
curious.
No, I'm giving attitude because there was CP3 slander on the podcast before. I said he's a winner, and well, no, what did I say? Not that he was a winner.
Here, you can
talk to
my boy. Talk to my boy Ryan Hollins.
Chris Paul is to a point in his career. Well, he'll never play 82 games. He'll never be able to get you through a season. And if we're going to talk about elite, one elite player on a squad gets you to the playoffs. Chris Paul alone does not get you to the playoffs.
Ryan Hollins, everyone.
Which is fair. SGA and Gallo have been awesome. But let's – no, hold on real quick. Wow, this is actually amazing.
We have so much ADD.
Hold on. Ryan Hollins' career, 2006-07, 27 games played, zero started. 07-08, 60 games. In his career, I'm looking at the basketball reference right now, he never even played in over 73 games, yet he's speaking on Chris Paul's inability to play 82. That's pretty good, Ryan.
Put
Hollins.
Me on television.
Ryan
Put
Hollins,
me on television.
Take your 2.3 field goal attempts in your career on average. He averaged 3.7 points per game. And just shove it up here.
I think I could get to the bucket with Ryan Hollins guarding me.
It's funny because I just saw a question posed online. If there was an active NBA player you had to play one-on-one for your life to 11, who would you pick?
And I almost said something really stupid, but just because I hate him.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say Jokic.
Yeah, that's probably not a good pick.
Who do I think is the worst?
The person who posed the question picked Udonis Haslam. Which is crazy, still in the league. Off the top of my head, and I don't know if it technically counts, I'm going to count it, though. I would say Isaiah Thomas, just because I feel like he would give me buckets, but I feel like, I don't know, I have like 6 inches on him.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm just trying to, Draymond sucks.
You're naming literally all-star level player.
Remember what I said about Draymond Green? What during the Warriors, run and everything, like, you obviously know how much I hate Draymond, but I said if you put Draymond Green on a Charlotte Hornets uniform, we would never hear peep out, never hear his name again.
I don't know. The team this year is so bad.
That's what I'm saying. He's not an all-star player.
He is, though. Because he still is one of the best defenders in the world. That you can't take away from him.
But... like I'm saying, like Draymond Green is getting no all-star chatter this year. He's averaging a triple single? Charles Barkley, by the way, is like...
he's so funny.
Gold to America. I would...
What was your final question, though? You said you had one.
Yeah. Why don't you read a little Untuck It while I find this question?
For reading Untuck It later.
Oh, all right. Well, stick around for Untuck It, guys. Found it. So this is the second week in a row he submit this question, and we haven't gotten to it yet. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
John Sawyer Gray wanted to know, what are your thoughts on Supercross racing?
You know, I thought that Jenkins-Johnson closing third of the Supercross Toyota in Detroit was like...
What did you just Google?
No, I just made that up. I don't watch Supercross. Look, listen, we got college basketball last week saying pay more attention, we're going to.
James Sawyer. Anderson crashes into a medic at the Arlington Supercross.
Mm, yeah.
Prayers up to Jason Anderson.
Prayers up. Sawyer, we appreciate you listening. Unfortunately, we will not be your source of Supercross knowledge.
My first reaction to that question was, Alexa, what the hell is Supercross racing?
It's bikes, right?
Yeah, now it is. Okay. It actually looks pretty cool. I think you used to play video games.
All right, Snapback fam. Thank you guys for listening in. Make sure to follow our boy Dare on Instagram at...
It's not Dare.
It's not Dare. It's Dare.
It's not Dare.
Ogunbowale. Just type in D-A-R-E-O. He'll pop up. He posted on his own Instagram story that he's now part of the fam, so make sure to welcome him in. But much love to everyone who listens in, and we'll catch you.
And Jack's the only person on planet Earth who enjoys going to the dentist.
That's correct.
I'm going to watch a movie tonight. What movie should I watch?
Are you good? Are we done?
Any suggestions?
All right. Peace, fam.
No.